it's time for real fashion on Pop Off with Mary Jane Pop.
Well, I hope you had an absolutely fabulous July 4th. Hi, Mary Jane Pop here. Welcome to Pop Off. I had a fun time. I kind of worked part of the day. Now, I'm not complaining. I'm not, you know, moaning about anything. It was kind of nice because we did our barbecue thing, and we saw the fireworks in the neighborhood and watched the Pops orchestra on television. So we had all that. But I did a little bit more work on the final touches. I'm so excited about this, and I'll keep you posted as to what's going to be happening. But the book, Marilyn, Joe, and Me, just about ready. Just about ready. We're just embedding the photos now, something like 75 photos. And, of course, you know, I'm so honored to have written this book with June DiMaggio. And, of course, June DiMaggio is the niece of Joe DiMaggio, the baseball player, the icon, the Yankee Clipper, and all that. And the book, the first promotional books are going to be out very soon. The book will actually be in the bookstores in October. And, I mean, we're really excited about it because these are never-before-told stories about Marilyn and Joe and some of the other stars that June knew, but mainly Marilyn and Joe. And the book itself is fabulous. I mean, the photos have never been seen before. This is another side of these people. It's not the same old studio stuff that you've seen and heard over and over and over again. This is the intimate story, the real story of these people and what they were really like. So I'm so excited about this. And talk about excited. I'm excited about the show today. We've got some great stuff on today, including if you're planning a vacation. And you know, with the price of gas and going places and hotels and everything else that you do, it costs an arm and a leg. Well, we've got some ideas for you that might be able to save you some bucks. And I mean big time bucks. In addition to that, do your kids surf the network all the time? We love the network. It's, of course, BBS Radio. And I'm so honored to be a part of, you know, Pop Off to be a part of BBSRadio.com, which is an internet radio network. But I'll tell you, there's some stuff on the internet that you don't want your kids to see or be a part of. And we're going to tell you maybe how to protect some of this. But first of all, this is going to be a topic that I think everybody is fascinated with simply because we are curious. And the curiosity goes a long way in that. Wait till you hear this. The television program called Medium has grown to large proportions. Now, I think we all want to know what's on the other side. So what is it like to see dead people and get messages back from those who have passed on, especially our loved ones? Well, Sherry Bowling sees and feels these people. She is a medium and a friend from way back when. It's been so long since we've talked. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Mary Jane.
But gosh, it's been forever since you and I've talked.
It really has been, and we go back forever, and I'm thrilled about your book.
Oh, it is exciting. It's been a seven-year journey. I said it's like, you know, having a child and raising a child, but it's been a wonderful experience in addition to that.
Right. Well, it must have been fun just being with June DiMaggio and knowing all the people that she knew.
Oh, yeah. The stories are incredible. I mean, these are the insider stories. They were only 2 years apart.
Now, I'll bet that when she's telling you some of these stories without knowing it, she's channeling some of the people that she knew.
You know, funny that you should say that. A very dear friend of mine who is also involved in the project itself is a very in-tune person, and I can't tell you how many times already she has said, Marilyn is with us right now, and she's watching. She's watching.
Right.
She's hearing all this.
Right.
And she's smiling because it's finally the real story about her instead of all, excuse my language, the crap that's been on the air up to this point.
Right. Well, see, she is a spirit, a restless spirit that can't be settled until these people move on, the ones that, you know, the crackpot stories and the ones that have been made up and put out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So is Elvis Presley. They're both restless spirits. They, first of all, left the earth early, and then they left the earth with these people who really didn't know him or didn't really have their personal contact, who, like the guy that wrote the book about, that went out with Elvis's wife, Priscilla, he writes a book about it.
Yeah.
I mean, what does he know?
Yeah.
So this is really exciting,
well,
very exciting. And Marilyn has always been a fascinating creature to me, And maybe this will help her to rest better.
You know, I'm hoping you're right, because, number one, June knew her over an 11-year period, which is... But she knew her as a friend, not as a star or any
right.
of that stuff. None of that thing.
Right.
And these are those stories. Those are intimate stories.
Right.
You know, like a 26 and a 28-year-old, you know, getting together and knowing each other. That's an amazing story
right.
to begin with. And also, I think she's restless, and this is my own personal feeling that I've gotten over the years in working on this project. Everyone thinks she committed suicide. Wait till you read the book.
Interesting.
It's not true.
I don't think it. I've never believed that she did.
You know, and I think her spirit is restless because of that, you know?
That's exactly right.
So, anyway, let's talk a little bit about it. I mean, look at the popularity of the television program medium. It's incredible.
Well, you know, what's interesting about this is over the years, because I've been doing astrology for almost 28 years,
mm-hmm.
in the middle of a session, very often, there will be somebody that will appear for the person that I'm reading for and just hand me some sort of information. And the information is something that they understand that I don't necessarily understand. I was reading for this lady one day, and I said that her mother was with me. And she said, you know, she looked, you know, wide-eyed and somewhat skeptical. And I said, she said, they have better hair products now. Well, the gal just started dying laughing because she and her mother were both hairdressers.
Oh, no.
So this was her key for her mother to let her know that she was with her. Or one lady, her husband said, get that dadgum tree planted, because evidently there had been a tree that they had bought, and she had not planted the tree yet. It had been, you know, 2 or 3 months, and she hasn't planted the tree yet. And
right.
this was his way of signaling her. So they all have their own ways of bringing forth something that is just personal.
That you don't even know about.
No, can't. And they're little things. They're not great big things like fortune is hidden underneath the bed. You know, they're little things. They're personal things. They're things that things that make them connect to the spirit, and they're usually happy things.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually, as a general rule, happy things, and that's the spirit's way of letting them know that they are happy. Now, I've been with people when the spirits were confused and not happy.
Yeah, now tell us, there's a couple of different ways. I mean, when we pass over, everybody is curious, you know, what's on the other side? Do we see something? Do we feel something? You say some are confused or curious. What happens when a person passes over? Everybody's curious about that.
Well, you know, it's just as we grow up here in life and we have a fate in life and the place that we're led and some things that need to be done, it continues on the same way, only we are given insight, great insight to what we need to do or what needs to be done. And often there are those that have had such tumultuous lives that they go into a rest, they go into a sleep.
Mm.
There are those that immediately pick up and start doing work and start becoming a part of, like this one man who was always very self-centered and very antisocial, became a part of the people that wrote the welcoming committee that had people, helped people over to the other side, explain things to them, because sometimes people are often very confused. You know, we all have, it depends upon our religious background, if you expect to see, you know, the religious figure that you expect to see, you genuinely do that because that gives you faith in the process. But yet, you still have to keep working. Your soul still requires working. What I have seen, which is really interesting, is for my dad passed away, and for 20 years, he was around constantly. My daughter would feel him. I would feel him. And when my mother passed away, he left.
No kidding.
He left with her.
And he probably felt like he had to take care of her.
He had, absolutely. And I have heard this over and over again from people whose parents, and interestingly enough, sometimes the parents may not have gotten along in the earth life. They may have separated, and somehow or another, in the end, that original love that they had for each other is very large and will show itself. You know, the parent or the person will come for that person.
You know, it's amazing that you said that because, of course, you knew my father.
Yes, I did.
Before he passed, and this was years and years ago. And then, of course, my mom lived until the year 2000, so she
right.
was like 20 years after he passed away. And just recently, another friend of mine just walked up to me one day, and she happens to be a psychic medium also, and she said, "Your father is standing behind you." And I said, "Really? What's he doing?" He said, "He just wanted to let you know he's still around. He really is proud of you. Oh, and by the way, he pulled your mother over to the other side, and he said, she's just, you know, driving him crazy, but he's handling it just fine."
Right.
And it was exactly, I mean, this was my mother. I mean, she
exactly.
was just a pistol.
Well, people don't turn into little angels with wings or turn into, you know, little devils with trotting around with pitchforks. They continue to be people. Their spirit continues to be. Where there has been a rough ending, like, you know, rough in some way, shape, or form, or if that person in that lifetime has done things that they know that they are going to have to face,
mm-hmm.
then that's a rough ending. It's different, you
mm-hmm.
know. It isn't like that they're boiled in oil, but it's just that they have to face up to
what they did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, why
God's perfect law.
Why is it that we kind of need someone like you, a medium, to be able to intercede for us? Why can't we just directly say, "Hey, you know, how's everything going over there?"
You know, really we can, but it's one of those things that, for me, it's like a natural ability to sing or dance or whatever, and then we hone it. And so if everybody realized their own natural ability, how much they have, this is the sixth sense that we all have, and honed it, they would definitely be able to do it. Some people are just non-believers, and so therefore they miss the whole thing.
Yeah.
They miss the signs, they miss the signals, they miss the various ways that the person over on the other side is leaving for attention. I did for years. I was in my 30s before I realized that I knew what I was seeing. And it took a long time, and sometimes they let you know through flowers. You smell flowers. Sometimes they let you know through music. There's a variety of different ways that they can let you know that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have some sort of openness in order to receive them. And I was very agnostic and very closed. And you couldn't budge me open for anything. It really took a lot of attention from the other side to budge me open, and when I did, I was so shocked. I was like, "Oh my God! All these years."
What did they do? Come over and kick your butt?
Well, you know, my godmother passed away on St. Patrick's Day, and for every year I would hear this song, and it's not a song that you normally hear. I mean, it just isn't. And I would think of her, and it dawned on me one day that it was on that particular day, St. Patrick's Day, I heard this same song, and it's a religious song. And it's not a song that you would normally hear, but I would turn on the radio for the time, or turn on the radio for, you know, for who knows what reason. And it would always be there. And it dawned on me, like, after about 3 years, why that I was hearing that song, and I put it together with that date. And I realized that she came to me through music. She was my godmother. And she came to me through music and wanting me to know that she had been right all along, that there was life after death. She didn't, it was very interesting because she was very religious in earth life, but now that she is in spirit form, she's not as religious as she is spiritual.
Yeah, I'm so glad you used that word, because the word religion to me anymore, it just means people trying to kill each other and trying to be the right one, and everybody else is going to hell, you know?
Well, if you're connected to spirit, you're connected to
a higher plane.
Higher plane, a higher vibration, because religion, unfortunately, has been taken over by man, and it does what man says it does now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have its own way with spirit, where if you can connect with spirit, which most people will tell you that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
They are spiritual. Mm-hmm. Most people will tell you that religion is awfully hard to believe in, because there are so many
variations
and not a loving institution the way it was intended to be by any of the scholars.
Can you imagine walking up to someone, and this happened to me actually. Someone walked up to me and said, "Well, are you born again?" And I said, "Well, I didn't know exactly what they meant." So I said, "Well, yeah, I'm Catholic, but I thought being born once is enough, you know."
Right.
I thought they were joking. And they just literally told me I was going to hell. And I said, "Excuse me, you know, if I'm, you know, Catholic, and I'm going to go to hell just because I'm Catholic, not because I wasn't a good person or anything like that, and you're going to heaven just because you're born again, but you didn't live a good life on this earth, well, you know what, maybe I better go to hell, because there's going to be a lot nicer people down there than where you're going."
Well, first of all, I have never heard anybody, in cases where people return from having been dead, you know, for a few minutes, and they give their statements, not one person has ever said they've been to hell.
Yeah.
Not one person. Not one person has ever said they've all seen people that they knew, that they loved. They've all seen some significant spiritual thing that changes their life. And nobody comes back and says, "I've been to hell." I mean, it just isn't there. And if we died and we went to heaven or hell, that would mean we were ending. And science proves that scientifically there's a part of our consciousness that weighs so much of an ounce that at the time of death they can weigh the body out, and I think it's 4/10 of an ounce or some amount like that.
That's called a soul, I think.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And that is what is unaccounted for in any way, shape, or form, and that is what goes on, and that has your consciousness in it.
Oh.
That has what you believe and what you believed in, and is still open to grow, because our consciousness is still open to grow now. I mean, I never thought that I would be working so much with mediumship, but when I first started doing astrology, I worked with a younger group. Now, people have gotten older. They've had loved ones that go to the other side.
Yeah,
there's more people that come to me, and also want me to help them, to help their parents get to the other side.
Oh yeah.
By, you know, there's different methods you can use.
You bet.
By playing old music so that they remember when they were young, so that they kind of go back to childlike.
Fantastic.
You know.
Sure. I got to ask you, if people would like to get a hold of you, because you can do this over the phone, right?
Right.
Okay. How do they get a hold of you?
967-4064.
And that's area code 916.
That's right.
Okay, 916-967-4064.
That's right.
Fabulous. You got to come back and visit again. Give us some more.
I'm going to do that. And listen, I'm so excited and geeked about your book that I can't believe it. But you know what?
What?
I hate to say it, but I told you so.
I know. I just want to talk to you. That's why I'm going to have you back.
Yes.
Okay, my love. Thank you so much for being with us. More to come, Sherry, okay?
All righty.
Take care, my love.
Talk to you soon.
Oh,
bye.
She is such a neat lady. We have known each other since I probably arrived on the West Coast. I mean, it goes back that far. She's seen me through the death of my father and the death of my mother. She's seen so many changes. It's just unbelievable. And it's wonderful to have friends like Sherry Bowling. And she has such heart and such spirituality, which is what we all should have and be able to share with one another. Again, if you do want to get a hold of Sherry, that's area code 916-967-4064. And, of course, she does do her medium work over the phone also. Coming up, you know, we try and protect our kids. We try and protect our kids from things like accidents. And I remember when I was a kid, my mother was always afraid, hey, you know, oh, be careful, you're going to have an accident. Don't go swimming. Don't go ride a bicycle. I mean, that's what parents do. You care about your kids. However, do you really think about what the possibilities would be and, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly of being on the Internet? What we're seeing these days is pretty scary. But I've got a gal who is an expert in the field. She knows what she's talking about. She's written a book, and I think she can really give us some good, down-to-earth information, practical information. You can't talk complicated. It's got to be practical. So hang in there with us on Pop Off. Remember, keeping a close eye on our kids on Pop Off. Talking about law and order, talking about what's happening with the law and what kind of order we can have in our lives for our kids, which is our first priority. You know, we worry about keeping our kids safe, safe from abduction and accidents and more. But what about the Internet? Think about it. You hear these stories. The predators have found a very prolific new area to prey upon our kids. So what can you do to protect them? Well, Vicki Courtney is an Internet safety expert, best-selling author, and nationally acclaimed speaker. She has some suggestions. Besides, she's got three kids of her own, and she is author of a book called Your Boy. Nice to have you with us, Vicki.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. It really is. This is a time in a world that we're living that I think most parents never, ever dreamed of.
You're absolutely right. It's at times just very overwhelming, and I hear the word desperate a lot, that a lot of parents feel really desperate just to be able to even catch up to technology and what's going on with their kids.
Well, the kids, this next generation, I mean, from 1, 2, 3 years old, they're growing up with computers. You can't keep up with them because it's part of their life. It's part of their being.
Right. You're exactly right. And that's what I caution parents that when we hear frightening news like the MySpace craze and some of the stories gone bad on that, we need to be careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater and take an extremist approach, because we can't deny that computers will be a part of our kids' lives and ours for that matter.
Absolutely. I mean, look at here. We're doing, you know, on an Internet radio network, we're doing a radio show. So, I mean, it has its very, very wonderful, positive, good points.
That's right.
But you have to be able to watch out what's going on, especially when I found out from your information that there's something like 80 million social websites.
Well, I know right now on MySpace, I checked this morning, that's probably what you read, it's 90 million users on MySpace.
Oh, my God.
Last I checked, it was the number 3 most hit website in the world now.
Jeez.
So very, very popular. 1/3 of the 90 million registered users are minors. And so that is an eyebrow right there.
And the other statistic that just blew me away, that 1 in 5 kids have been solicited for sex already?
That's right. And I heard that statistic last year sometime, and it really just kind of stops your heart, doesn't it, as a parent? And we have to almost have statistics like that, hear them over and over again, to compel parents to take charge, find out what your kids are doing online. And it's a shame it's come to that, but we have to be engaged as parents. And that's a lot of what I write about in my books and talk about in my interviews.
Well, you know, it is so important, because so many times these stories land up in, you know, rape, molestation, even murder. And we've got to open our eyes and don't say, oh, well, it'll never happen to my child, because I'm sure the parents that it did happen to said the same thing.
That's right. And this is where I see that there's a huge disconnect that concerns me sometimes with parents who say, well, you know, my daughter's a good girl, or and we find more often than not it's the girls that are attracted to these social networking sites like MySpace and such. But the truth is, a lot of our girls, even our good girls, are innocently posting too much information.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, you know, information about where they're going to be this weekend, their screen name, their email address, their last name, pictures of them at the lake in their swimsuit that they don't think twice about, but can be certainly misread by someone with malicious intent.
You know, it really boggles my mind, Vicki, and maybe you can explain to me. I heard the story, and this was just very recent, the 16-year-old girl who actually went to Michigan and then left to go to Israel to meet some boyfriend, and it happened to be an old guy who was just out to try and do her harm.
Right. It's really amazing. I'm from the Austin area, where you've probably heard on the news, we've got the case here where it hit national news of the 14-year-old and her mother who were suing MySpace because an older boy ended up molesting her.
Mm.
And so, you know, you're hearing stories like this every day. And again, it's a shame that that's what it takes to get parents to be a little bit more attentive about, well, maybe this could be my child, or, you know, what is my child doing online? Who exactly are they talking to? Would they do this? And again, what I'm finding is a lot of our teens are just looking for a way to express themselves, and that's why they're drawn to these social networking sites. It's the equivalent of being able to share with whoever they want their favorite bands. It's like walking into their bedroom and seeing, okay, what posters do they have on the wall? Who, you know, what bands do they like? What are they writing in their diary? What sort of pictures are in their album? And so they can post a little bit of everything, and you can get to know someone very quickly. That's why predators are so drawn now to the social networking sites like Facebook and MySpace and Zynga and Friendster. They used to hang out in the chat rooms, and it would take them days and days and sometimes weeks to lure one child or get to know them. Well, now they can get to know them in 15 minutes on the website without even on one of these social networking sites without even contacting them and talking to them, so they can figure out who they want to target.
And you made an excellent point, Vicki. These predators do take the time to find out what is of interest to kids and how to talk to kids and what to do with kids. And if parents don't do the same thing, they're going to lose them.
Absolutely. And this is where it gets really dangerous. I mean, on the MySpace page, most of these teens are filling out a basic survey. And it'll say things like, you know, do you get on with your parents? And a lot of them will say, no, who does at this age? Well, you know, something like that, that's something that a predator is looking for right there. I want to find the underage minor who's not getting along with mom and dad. Maybe they're alienated, they're lonely, they don't fit in at school. You know, their whole site seems to be a cry for help. And some, you know, are not as obvious as that. And so the predators are looking for certain types of kids to target. And again, we've got 12- and 13-year-olds on there that are not thinking twice. They're lying about their age. They think it's some kind of playground. And unfortunately, the predators think it's a playground as well.
So how is a parent, you know, I'm not a parent, to be honest with you. And I can't imagine, how do I sit down with my kid and start talking to them about some of the dangers? Because these kids don't see that they're immortal. Nothing's going to happen to them.
They are. They're at the invincible age, truly. And they're at the age where they're wanting to express themselves. And I first of all tell parents that, you know, before you completely go overboard, you know, remember back to when you were their age. I mean, I shudder to think of what my MySpace page would have looked like if I'd had that opportunity.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a real bad girl, but yet, you know, I'm sure I would have been one of them posting my pictures in the sense of just out by the pool or not thinking twice, not connecting the dots. Mm-hmm. And so I tell parents, go over safety tips with your kids. I have on my site, my author website right now at VickiCourtney.com, MySpace safety tips. They're the exact safety tips that I went over with my 16-year-old daughter when I went ahead and allowed her to have a MySpace page. She's had it for 9 months. She has not been contacted to date by a predator, a weirdo. But, you know, we have some pretty strict requirements. I mean, she has to set her page to private. I tell girls, why bother opening it up to the public? Essentially what that means is over 990 million users have access to your diary,
wow,
your photo album, your likes and dislikes, your address, cell phone number, whatever it is you're posting on there. But then I go further and I tell them, you know, in addition to setting it to private, do not share your last name. Don't share your school name. Don't put your email address, your cell phone number, your screen name. Don't give anyone any sort of way to contact you one-on-one. Look at it as a way to just converse with your friend network, not opening it up to strangers. So just some basic safety tips like that can help add a layer of protection. It's not going to be 100% foolproof, but it certainly helps.
Well, I can imagine, too, that parents, and this has got to be difficult, you got to learn the online lingo, whether you like it or not.
You do. And, you know, I find so many parents are just overwhelmed with the task of, well, no sooner than I learned email, you know, then they were doing that IMing thing. And now, you know, I'm kind of familiar with the basics of IMing and they're off to MySpace. What do I do? Well, again, one of the things we've done on VickiCourtney.com is not only have we posted MySpace safety tips to go over with your son or daughter, but also 10 easy steps for mom or dad to actually get into the MySpace system and set up a dummy profile. And so, like, I did it. I went in and set one up, and my daughter knows this, and she added me to her friend list so that I can go in and I can look at her page at any given time.
Wow.
I can see who's contacting my daughter, what comments they're making, what sort of picture she has on there. And I just checked it this morning. I mean, not more than 2 days goes by, and I don't check her page.
That's great. But, again, parents are going to have to know how.
That's right. That's right. And that's why we've tried to make it as easy as possible, 10 easy steps. If you can, you know, type on a keyboard, you can get into this site and you can run a search. Of course, if you've got a great relationship with your child, the best thing to do is sit them down, tell them how much you care, and let them know what your motives are, and ask them outright, do you have a MySpace page? If you do, I'd like to see it right now. Sometimes I think we're so concerned with being our child's friend that we forget all about being their parent first.
You know, I'm so glad you said that, because it's true. I've talked to someone, well, they might get upset with me. Well, so what? You know, I can't say how many times I was upset with my mother and father. And
exactly.
And, you know.
I mean, that's my soapbox, to be honest with you. I mean, someday they may come to us and tell us, I want to be your friend. But for now, we're called to be their parent. And sometimes that's tough because we're called to protect our children from themselves.
Bingo.
And their other friends.
Yeah. In spite of themselves, you know.
Exactly.
Now, the other thing, too, you talk about a blog diary, and you say that's an invitation for strangers. Now, what do you mean by that? Is that the blog diary you referred to earlier?
Well, that's when a blog is really short for web log. And so your social networking sites like Zynga, Friendster, of course, MySpace being the most popular one, and then for college students, they're really drawn to Facebook.com. They are using it as a diary of sorts. That's what a blog is. And they're, you know, putting down their likes and their dislikes, what they may be doing this weekend, whatever they want to put on there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's interesting. My son is heading off to college in August, and we found his roommate that they just sent, you know, his roommate assignment, and we looked him up on Facebook. My son did it all by himself. This shows you where technology is today.
Yeah.
And his pictures were of him vomiting into a toilet with, you know, hungover.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really nice. And needless to say, I had my son call housing department and request a roommate. I'm thinking, you know, how can it get any worse than that? I'm sure it can, but
yeah, but, you know, that's all he put up there. Who knows about more? I mean, that's a hint.
Well, yeah, this is the person my son's supposed to live with for 9 months. So, you know, of course, he's a brand-new freshman, and this kid's already been off to college for a year, the roommate that he was assigned to. So this is where we are with technology. You know, this is where, for me, I thought that was a positive way to use Facebook. Let's go in and do a little bit of research. But
good
what these same kiddos don't know is that, if you know, their friends can get into it. Their girlfriend's mom can get into it. Their grandmother can get into it if she wants to. Their teachers can get into it. Their potential employer can get into it.
Wow.
And so that's what they're not thinking. They're not realizing that when I share all this information, it's not really private.
You bet. Well, you know what? I keep telling people this, and they laugh at me. I said, there is absolutely no information that cannot be gotten through on the Internet. And I mean your personal finances,
mm-hmm.
your personal life, everything. And they go, no, I've never posted any of that. I said, yes, you have. When you order anything, when you buy
mm-hmm.
anything, it doesn't have to even be online. It's sold to people online. There is no privacy. You have to be careful.
It's cached away even once your page is removed. In your comments, it can go back and be dredged up.
You bet.
In fact, there's a program, Wayback Machine, on archives.org, and I went in and I pulled up an old domain that I used to have that has since been shut down and sold to someone else. And do you know that I was able to find the exact web page that I had in 1999? I shared this to teens across the country when I do my events, and I've written about it in some of my books because I want girls, I write to teen girls and I write to parents, but I want the girls to know, when you are posting this information and then you change your mind and you remove it, it still doesn't go away.
You bet.
People can go back. So can you imagine when these kiddos start running for office?
Yeah.
I mean, forget the mudslinging TV commercials about inhaling. You know, I mean, that's going to seem rated G compared to, you know, what we'll be able to find on the next generation.
And what they don't realize is that some of that information might have been made up with them or by them at the time. But you know what? It's there. People will believe it happened.
Absolutely. And I look at some of these high schoolers and, you know, they've got pictures posted drinking vodka out of the bottle and thinking potential employers see things like that. And you can't help but think, you know, this person may be a risk to our corporation. Looks like they will be wanting to party quite a bit.
You got it.
And so things like that do have an impact on the future. And again, that's where we need to educate our students and our parents, for that matter, that that information never really goes away.
Now, Vicki, also, the book Your Boy, tell me what it's about.
Sure. That book is actually the counterpart to a book I wrote a couple of years ago called Your Girl, Raising a Godly Daughter in an Ungodly World. The Your Boy book, of course, being geared to mothers of sons, 0 to 18 years old, and tackling the culture's influence on our boys today. And really how mom can have a huge influence on her son's life and really impact that life for good and steering him in the right direction. And then, as I mentioned, I have several magazine-looking books out for teen girls. I have an organization, and we reach over 150,000 girls and moms across the country each year. And so that affords me the opportunity to kind of keep a pulse there on what's going on in teen culture. So
you know,
I write a lot to teen girls as well.
It's mandatory anymore. You know, I would love to say, hey, kids, be expressive, do whatever you need to do. It's wonderful to be out there and be yourself, but it's not. I mean, you know, I'm a child of the 60s. I'm a baby boomer. You know, and the 60s, it was a different era. Yes, you could have the freedom to express yourself, but now there is nothing that is hidden, no longer.
No, you're absolutely right.
You know, I've been on the air now for 33 years. And to be honest with you, when I first started, I felt so free to be able to say anything and do anything. Hey, it's a free country. You know what? It's not anymore.
Yeah, it's really not. And I think this is where, again, many parents are still playing catch-up when it comes to technology. You know, I've set my kids' names to Google Alerts. And some of your listeners, or a lot of them, probably don't even know what that is. Just go into Google, and you'll find Google Alert. And put in a phrase. Put in your child's name. And I'm emailed every time anyone ever mentions my child. It's not 100% foolproof. But many times I saw my daughter's name coming up in somebody else's blog page.
Wow.
And it's always been, you know, good stuff where they're listing, you know, people who were at a party or this or that. But it's very interesting. You're so right where we are today with technology that you could do something like that.
And we don't know where it's going tomorrow either.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Now, you did say, let's give them the .com again, because you got a lot of good stuff up there.
Sure. My author website is VickiCourtney.com, and that's Vicki with an I, Courtney, C-O-U-R-T-N-E-Y. Your listeners can find out information about my books on there, and they can also, I encourage them to click on Virtue Alert, the tab that says that, and right now posted on that, I have MySpace safety tips. And I also have the 10 easy steps for mom or dad to get into the MySpace website and even run a search to see if your child's on there or your child's friends are on there.
Great.
And to get a little bit of an education, if you will.
By the way, is Your Boy and Your Girl, are they available at the bookstore too or just online?
They're available at select bookstores. I never know when I'm talking to different parts of the country, so I always route people to Amazon.com and just do an author search for Vicki Courtney, and it'll pull up the books as well.
You bet. I mean, since we kind of go worldwide, Amazon is usually the best one to do.
It's a safe route and good prices.
You bet. That's a good idea, too. And with poor parents these days, they're going to have to watch the budget with all the things going on. Well, Vicki, this has been great. Keep up the good work. Seriously, I mean, I do not envy the job of parents these days. It is very difficult in so many areas, and this one just adds another one.
Well, thank you so much just for your willingness to bring attention to it. I really want parents to just get engaged in what their kids are doing. I think we all mean well, but we're a little confused right now and caught off guard.
You betcha. Vicki, thank you so much for joining us on Pop Off.
Thank you for having me.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
That's Vicki Courtney. And again, her site is Vicki, it's V-I-C-K-I, no I-E. It's V-I-C-K-I-C-O-U-R-T-N-E-Y, Courtney, VickiCourtney.com. The name of the book, Your Boy, which was a follow-up of Your Girl. You know, we got to keep a close eye on our kids. I mean, they're the most precious things in our world, but things happen that are bad to them, and we have to be the protectors. You got to set the parameters, and I don't care. You don't have to be their friend. You are their parent first, so be very, very careful. Keeping a close eye on our kids on Pop-Off, that's the main thing. And talking about keeping a close eye, are you keeping a close eye on what's happening with vacations this summer? Are you looking for maybe the place to go, but you're saying, I don't know if I can afford it. It's been kind of crazy out there with gas prices and then the hotel rooms and, well, all the whatnot. Wait till you hear the information that we've got coming for you, because maybe we can solve some of your problems, both for your pocketbook and for the whole family to really have a blast.
I love the colorful clothes she wears, and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of her gentle on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up her vibration. She gives me excitation.
Well, if you want to have some good vibrations, at least when you were talking about vacation time, well, maybe we've got some ideas for you. Are you still searching for that perfect vacation spot for this summer? Well, maybe Christine Karpinski can give you some solid tips with her book, How to Rent Vacation Properties. Now, she's a real estate vacation home owning expert, but she's got so many other wonderful tips for us that might be able to save us some bucks this summer and have a blast at the same time. Christine, are you online with us? Hi, Christine? Well, I guess Christine is not quite with us yet, but she's got some great tips. As a matter of fact, she's got some trends in travel, some vacation hotspots, and in addition to that, some affordable vacation homes. And if you haven't thought about it, one of the things you might want to think about is renting a vacation home as opposed to a hotel. I mean, hotels are not cheap, and especially if you're taking the whole family, you got two or three kids, you got to have at least a couple of rooms, in some cases maybe three rooms. It can get pretty, pretty freaky. So let's check in. Are you there yet, Christine? Not yet. Okay, we're going to keep talking about this because she's got some great tips for us. As a matter of fact, as I said, she is a real estate vacation homeowning expert, and her advice is invest in a vacation home this summer and make money for years to come. So you can do it two ways. Either you can rent a vacation home, or you can possibly, instead of renting, you can buy it and then be able to sell it later on. While we're waiting for Christine to come online with us, I do want to have give you some ideas.
Hi, this is Christine Karpinski.
Christine, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Christine. How you doing?
Good. How about you?
Fantastic. Yeah, I was waiting for you to come online, so I was just getting some of the tips that you had in the book, which is fantastic. Now, when we talk about vacation homes, and as you said, you're right. I mean, if you got two or three kids that are going with you, you have to rent more than one or two hotel rooms, and that can add up pretty fast.
Very fast. And, you know, the benefits of renting a vacation home are more than just, the money. A lot of times you'll get more personalized service. We like to say you get to live like a local, and you get to experience and live the destination. There are a lot of things that you can experience through living in a vacation home while you're on vacation, as opposed to just staying in a hotel.
You know, that's a good point, because you're right. When you're in a hotel, you're a tourist. When you have a vacation home, you're part of the group, and you really get to know the inside part of the area that you're into.
Yeah, it's really nice. I mean, for instance, we went to Italy, and when we were staying in this villa in Italy, it was great because every morning the bread truck would come by and, sell bread, and you got to choose your bread, and then the fruit truck would come, and those are things that you just can't experience in the hotel rooms.
Now, is renting, which is the best? I mean, obviously, we're not all millionaires, so we can't afford to buy necessarily a vacation home. Is renting still the best way to do it before you even think about buying?
Oh, absolutely. I always recommend that if you ever are thinking about buying a second home, even if you have no intentions of renting it out at all, I always recommend that you go and rent a property first, because you'll really get to learn a little bit more about the ins and outs. There's websites out there like HomeAway.com. SurfSideRentals.com, those sorts of websites that you can just go to, and you can, you know, rent the property from an owner.
That is great. Now, when you rent, of course, prices depends on the area, doesn't it?
Yeah, and really there's properties in every price range that you can imagine. I mean, on HomeAway, for instance, there's properties in Cape Cod that you could rent for $99 a night. There's properties in Hawaii that you can rent for $99 a night. There's properties in Florida that you can rent for $99 a night. But then on the flip side, there's also properties in all those locations that you could rent for, you know, $999 a night. You know?
Yeah, depending on how fancy you want to get, right?
Yeah, there's a little bit of everything for everybody.
That's not bad, though. I mean, that's still, I mean, when you're talking about a hotel room, especially in some of these high-priced areas, you're talking about $200-$300 a night to begin with.
Yeah, you know, I did some research recently about, South Beach, Florida, and, you know, South Beach is probably, it's up there in one of the most expensive areas in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
To get a hotel room. And, you know, hotels were in the vicinity of, they were like $300 to $500 a night for a hotel room. And we found vacation homes. There was one that was $650. It slept up to four people. We found another one that was $535. It slept two people. It was just a little studio. But the hotels were so much more expensive, and then you still had to pay for parking, and you still have to buy all of your meals. Remember, staying in a vacation home, you get to either, you know, eat in breakfast, eat in lunch, dinner, whatever, so you're not spending $32 for you know, bacon and eggs either.
Right. Right. These are just, it's good practical tips, and when you really look at the whole picture, if people say, oh, yeah, like, I can't pay $300 or $400 a night. Well, yeah, but you're cooking your own food, so you're saving. There's a whole lot of savings in here that you're talking about, and I think that's what we have to do. You have to look at the whole picture, not just bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, and the experience that you get as well. You know, especially if you have children, and you know, and especially the small kids. Although I have a teenager, and it's nice to be able to let him go to his own room. if you've got little children, oh gosh, you know, you get back from doing your sightseeing or being at the beach all day, they get cranky and tired, and they want to go to bed early. And, you know, you'd like to stay up and have a drink with your spouse or, you know, sit around and talk. If you're in a hotel room,
mm-hmm.
you're having to turn off the lights and go to sleep when they do. That's no fun.
That's a good point. I never thought of that. You're absolutely right. Where are some of the maybe the hot vacation spots this summer?
Well, you know, as usual, Cape Cod for, you know, the East Coast is very popular. Florida has been extremely popular. It's really funny. We were a bit worried about the industry in Florida because of all the hurricanes last year. We thought that,
right.
you know, it would sort of scare off some travelers. But, you know, I'm talking to a bunch of owners, and they're finding it to be as good, if not better, this year than in past. So, you know, it doesn't seem to have scared off the vacationers. You know, Colorado is a great refuge from the heat if you're in the, you know, heated areas, and you've got even, you know, really neat areas near you, which are like the Big Bear, and Sonoma County has some great places. There's pretty much a vacation rental property anywhere that you can imagine.
How does one find out where the rental properties are? Is there like a rental property site that they can go to?
Yeah, HomeAway.com is the largest one, and they have over 60,000 properties on there. They're all individually owned.
Spell that for me, would you?
It's HomeAway.com, just like home away from home. HomeAway.com, and there's 60,000, over 60,000 properties. So pretty much anything that you're looking for. It's really funny. Like the PGA uses vacation rentals whenever they're going to find accommodations because they're looking for accommodations in areas where you wouldn't necessarily find hotel rooms. And that's the wonderful part about vacation rentals is you're going to find them in you know, some of the more popular areas, but you'll also find them in places where there isn't an abundance of hotels.
Was I correct in knowing that you're coming to Sacramento soon?
No, actually, it's out of Texas.
No, no, but aren't you coming to Sacramento to be
do a
special thing?
Yes. I'll be coming at the end of the month.
Oh, great. When?
I think it's the 25th, 26th, 27th. I'll be in that area.
Fantastic. Are you going to do any seminars?
You know what? I'm not going to do a seminar this time around. This time I'm just going to be doing an author tour.
Oh.
And I'll be doing some television and stuff like that while I'm there and some book signings.
Well, while you're here, let us know and where you're going to be, and I'll be glad to let people know.
Oh, okay. I will. Thank you.
I mean, because we actually broadcast, I broadcast out of Sacramento, but many of our hosts broadcast from all over the country with BBS Radio. And we are all over the country, but if you're coming to our area, I want to let all our folks out here know that you're going to be here.
Okay, I most definitely will then.
Now, what about your site? Do you have a website?
I do. It's howtorentbyowner.com, and it's spelled just like it sounds, howtorentbyowner. And I have on that website, I've got a bunch of tips about, you know, buying and renting vacation homes. Also, my books are available. You know, I've written How to Rent Vacation Properties by Owner. Also, my second book title just escaped me. Isn't that crazy? Profit from Your Vacation Home Dream is my other book. And I've got those along with some other authors' books that I always recommend.
Now, if we went on to the site that you told us, the homeaway.com,
mm-hmm.
is that going to be a safe place? I mean, you know, if we're going to rent something, is it going to, we know it's legitimate and everything?
You know, that's a really good question. I mean, you always, whenever you're buying anything off the Internet, you always should do some due diligence. But HomeAway, even though it's a new website, they've acquired their customers. It's been a long time running website, and they do, they don't do any policing, but they do actually have a three strikes and you're out policy. Basically, if they get complaints from renters that the property isn't exactly what is pictured or, you know, is misrepresented in any sort of way, then those owners are banned from the site forever. And, the sites have been around since 1996 or 95, I think. So you're pretty safe.
That sounds good. That sounds very good. Well, these are great ideas, and we have to look at some alternatives because, to be honest with you, it used to be a time when you could tour all summer, you know, and just keep the little camper going or the station wagon going or whatever. Can't do that anymore, not with gas prices. You need to land someplace and then kind of enjoy one area at a time, and this sounds like a wonderful way to do it.
Yeah, and the best part is that, you know, there's vacation homes within a two-hour driving distance of any major metropolitan city in the United States, so you don't even necessarily have to go far. Sometimes there's some neat places to see right in your own backyard, and, you know, especially now with the gas prices, as you've mentioned, you know, now it's a time to start looking in our backyard. You know, it's really funny. You know, for years I lived in Georgia, and there's parts of Georgia that were an hour and a half, 2 hours away that I had never been to.
I know. We've all done it, Christine. So, Christine, I thank you so much for joining us on Pop Off. Keep up the good work. We need all the help we can get.
And thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. And happy hunting for all your fun times on Pop Off. And want to make sure I just remind you, always reminding you of good information. All you have to do is go to popoff.com. If you go to popoff.com, you will find any and all the information we have on the show. I can name them books, websites, phone numbers. I always try and get that all there for you because I know it gets kind of confusing. You know, you may be in a hurry or doing something else while you're listening to the show. I don't want you to miss out on any of that information. So just go to popoff, that's popoff.com, popoff.com. And I'd love to hear from you, too. MaryJane@popoff.com. Let me know where you're emailing me from and also topics you'd like to hear on the show, or we'll let you know when we're coming to your area with the book, Marilyn, Joe, and Me. Lots of things happening. I want to be a part of your life. I want you to be a part of mine. That's where the extraordinary part of everything is all about. It's part of the universe. In the meantime, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and above all else, you dare to dream. That's what we can all do, and do it together. I
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.